Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We'll do a little roundtable right now with two of my favorite people from the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, from the Detroit Free Press, Anthony Fenech, and from The Athletic, the great Zach Meisel. Boys, what's happening?
Good morning, Matt. Happy summer camp. Zach, you guys start today?
Yeah, the Indians are having their first full team shebang. I think every team today's the main day for them.
I can't wait. I'm just picking out what I'm going to wear. First day to school. Excited. thanks for having me on, D's.
Here's the thing, and I prefaced this early on the show. I mean, if we can get Anthony and Zach going and get you guys, the two of you are like a comedy team. I mean, let's be honest here. You're two of the best baseball writers in the country, but together, I think you're magic.
Well, we spent a lot of hours up in that Comerica Park, Progression Field, press box, and we have some stories for sure.
Uh-oh. Any ones you can share on the air or no?
Zach, do you want to continue or?
I'm not sure I want to know where you're going with this.
Anthony's a little fired up right now.
I know. It's baseball, and I'm just hoping these we can even get through this summer camp, because at the rate we're going, it's definitely not looking good.
Let me ask you this, Zach. I'll start with you. The name summer camp, I don't love it. Are you with me on that?
I liked it at first, and then, you know, you see all the like. I think the main goal for summer camp is to try to avoid this, you know, this terrible virus. So that doesn't remind me of the days of summer camp when I would go and play kickball with my friends. So I understand some people thinking it doesn't really fit.
Anthony, are you with us on this?
I mean, it's kind of par for the course with MLB, isn't it? It's like, you know, I think the thing that's kind of got a bad taste in everybody's mouth is that, you know, they're kind of acting like, you know, they're branding this and they're acting like it's a big happy thing when there's still a pandemic going on, and the season is very much, at least from this perspective, in question, just based on what's going on. So I'm going to have fun with it on Twitter, though. I can tell you that much.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, you're up early picking out your clothes for today. I mean, this is exciting. Are you allowed to go down there and cover the team?
Yeah. I'm just packing my lunch, and it'll be interesting. I'm sure I'll get some dirty looks from General Manager Al Avila and the crew. But so such goes with the territory. I don't know. You know how it is up here, D's. They need something to get them excited about baseball. I mean, so you got some of the top prospects here: Casey Mize, Matt Manning, Spencer Torkelson. Hopefully that all patches through, because as Zach knows, it's been a little bit quiet here in recent years.
Yeah, Detroit is not exactly, you know, a team primed to do anything great with the Indians. And Zach, I brought this up before you guys came on. I think this team's got a shot. I like the group. And I think in Tito we trust. Having a guy like Francona steer the ship in these kind of murky waters, I think, is a huge positive for this team, right?
Yeah, and not just him, but the front office. I think you're going to see a lot of collaboration. You know, you'll see every analytics department across baseball try to figure out, okay, what's the best setup for a 60-game season? Do we go with a standard five-man rotation? Should we do anything different with our lineup. So I think you'll see a lot of collaboration to try to find small competitive advantages with this new setup. I think the Indians are well-equipped to find those because there's got to be some way to arrange their pitching staff to give them some benefits here over the course of a short season.
Matt Derry on the Fan, Zach Meisel from The Athletic, Anthony Fenech from the Detroit Free Press. Anthony, when you look across, the turnpike here and you see the Indians, what do you see?
Well, first of all, I see my favorite player in baseball, Mike Clevinger. I think he's very good for the game. He's very good. I like his outspoken tendencies, and I just think he's a really cool individual to kind of root for. Zach knows that very well. I've been talking about Clev Dog here for 3 years. But when you look at this team, I mean, I just think that what they've been doing in player development is pretty outstanding. You know, the way that they could trade a guy like Vinny Pestano and find a guy like Clevinger in return, guys like Zach Plesac, it seems like they keep finding guys. Shane Bieber last year, and the way that they've been able to develop their pitching staff has been really, really impressive. And I guess I have a couple of questions for Zach. First of all, how is Clev Dog doing? And second of all, I mean, I guess what's going to happen this season with the Lindor trade talks? Because to me, that moves up a timeline for them. And as I've told Zach over the years, we go to Cleveland 3 times a year, and it's just a little bit surprising that, you know, the fans aren't supporting them as much as I feel like they should be in terms of, look, these were championship caliber teams, I feel like, the last 3 or 4 years. And it's unfortunate because you have a generational talent there in Lindor, and he really seems like the guy that you got to build around. They got to find a way to keep him. Is there any chance of that, Zach?
Well, so first of all, Clevinger's healthy. Carrasco's healthy. Everybody who was hurt in spring training has had enough time to recover, including Tyler Naquin, who tore his ACL in, 10 months ago. So they're good to go. The Lindor question, I mean, it's inevitable. It hangs over every team that has to go through something like this. In every sport. I mean, I remember the first time LeBron James left 10 years ago, and right now everybody in Cleveland was, you know, whispering about what the cupcake shop owner was saying or trying to convince, you know, LeBron's barber to get him to stay in Cleveland. Like, this happens all the time. So, you know, it's going to be tough to pull off any sort of significant trade this year, I think, just because one, prospects aren't really developing, so it's tougher to evaluate them. Number two, you're going to have to find some team that would want to take on salary. Number three, you're going to want to find some team that would have to part with some really good prospects and take on Lindor, and there's no guarantee that we even finish the season. So there's so much risk involved. And then it's also, I mean, the Indians still want to try to win this year, so you know, the trade deadline is August 31st. You'll have played like 33 games at that point. You're not going to know where you stand. I mean, if they're 16 and 17, do they pull the plug and try to trade him? I think it's more likely they move him this winter. You know, it's weird because the collective bargaining agreement expires at the end of next year. He should be in a pretty good spot to cash in big once that gets settled. I'd feel a little differently. Like Mookie Betts might want to sign a short-term deal, 1 or 2 years, just to see what happens with the CBA, before he signs some huge mega contract. But Lindor having one more year left, I don't really think that's an option. So, he's very more than likely gone, either this winter or next winter or even next summer.
Is Mike Clevinger aware of Anthony Fenech's man crush on him, Zach?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I met him a couple years ago. I introduced myself to him a couple years ago.
Clev Dog? I thought his nickname was Sunshine. We're creating new nicknames on this show.
Yeah, that's my nickname for him.
I love it. Anthony, you mentioned before about what you like about the Indians, and obviously you mentioned the pitching and the development there, but, you know, Franmil Reyes could be a guy that nobody's talking about, that I don't know how many home runs would be considered the home run champ for 60 games, but he's somebody that maybe nationally people recognize maybe more than locally here in Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was kind of, you know, he was the lesser known piece of that three-team trade a little bit. It's kind of like, okay, you got Trevor Bauer in that whole mix, and then, oh yeah, the Indians also got a young power hitter. Again, and I think Zach probably sees this a little bit more up close, but coming from a different perspective, and again, there's been some tough times here. We've been going through a full-scale rebuilding, but I just look at the Indians, and I think that, you know, they've done a very, very good job with staying competitive through a certain window, which is now going on, what, 4 or 5 years? And especially doing so with the payroll constraints that they've been able to do it. And they've been doing it really the way that the Tigers are hoping to pull this off, by developing players and identifying, you know, buy low players on the market. And I also think that they don't seem afraid to make a move. And again, moving a guy like Bauer, I know that he was, you know, a little bit enigmatic, let's say, but I think that was a big, a bold move, and I think it made the team better for the future. So I can tell you what, these guys down here with the Tigers have not forgotten by the Indians by any stretch of the imagination. I know everybody talks about the Twins, and it seems like every year the White Sox, might this be the year with the White Sox, but I think pound for pound, you got to put the Indians right up there with the Twins at the top of the division, and they also have a pretty darn good manager, as you guys know.
Hey Zach, when you go down to Progressive Field today, is Reyes and how he looks in terms of his shape going to be a big topic? Because he came into spring great shape, but again, that was February.
Yeah, and that's key with him, because he spent all off season at the Indians Academy in the Dominican Republic working on his defense and his agility. And he came to spring training, and it seemed like he was going to seize one of those outfield spots, and that's why they were able to sign Domingo Santana, thinking he would be the designated hitter. But now you've had 4 months off, so are you still in that good shape? Have you been able to work on your defense at all? That's going to be an important piece for the Indians. I mean, he is going to be in the middle of the order. I if you have a spot where you can find a long shot to win the home run title in a 60-game season, I might sprinkle a little cash on Framo Reyes if I were you, but he becomes more valuable if he can play in the outfield. So that's key. They need him to just be adequate in one of the corners, and that makes his team a lot better.
Anthony Fenech from the Detroit Free Press, Zach Meisel from The Athletic. I'm going to throw these guys on hold. We're going to do another segment next. I want to ask these guys about the division, where it stacks up. Gambling was interesting, Zach just brought up right there. It's something that's going to be happening at Tigers games, apparently. We'll get into that as well with these guys. Matt Derry on The Fan on a Monday morning, Friday morning. I'm Matt Derry back with you on this Friday morning, July 4th weekend, talking baseball with Zach Meisel of The Athletic, Anthony Fenech, Detroit Free Press, doing another segment with the guys on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Indians will be reporting to workouts and summer camp today at Progressive Field. Same for the Tigers, whom Anthony covers for the Free Press down at Comerica Park in Detroit. Fellas, appreciate another segment with you guys. As far as protocols for today for both of you, let's start with you, Anthony. What do you do? Where can you go? Give the fans a little inside scoop here.
Well, I was honestly a little bit worried about it because, I mean, as baseball writers, we've been given a lot of rope, let's say, in terms of kind of exploring and walking around the stadium. We have clubhouses and stuff, but this seems like a pretty streamlined process here. We're going to have to sign a waiver. We're going to have to take our temperature. You have to bring your own food and drink. The Tigers, actually, media relations department, I thought did a really good job of giving us some lower level seating underneath the shading that we can watch these workouts from. But I still think, generally speaking, from this perspective, it's a little bit of a hold your breath kind of situation. I think they want us outside a little bit more than inside because of the situation. But we'll see how it plays out. But I definitely think that for everybody listening, I think it's going to impact the kind of the sports writing and baseball writing in general a little bit, because the access is just going to be so much less than in previous seasons this year.
Yeah, I mean, we're not allowed, actually, until Monday. So it's just so strange because the typical baseball, every single day, you get to just hang out in the clubhouse for 45 minutes to an hour every afternoon. And, you know, maybe you don't have anyone you're in desperate need of, but you can go chat up some player casually and get to know something about them that you can use later on to eventually pursue a story after you've built that relationship. So it's so different because this year every interview is going to be, you know, over Zoom or over a conference call. So you're not going to get that face-to-face interaction. Like Anthony said, you're not going to have that relationship building that can help you lead to stories or sourcing or anything like that. So yeah, you're going to spend a lot of time in the press box, maybe a little time in some upper deck seating at Progressive Field, and that's it. And if you're caught somewhere you're not supposed to be, it's one strike and you're out.
So wait, Zach, so each team, obviously, so the Tigers are allowing Anthony to be there. So the Indians, at least for now, said wait till Monday?
Yeah, I don't know if it was they're trying to finalize some protocols or something. I'm not really sure what it is, but it's always been Monday for us. Today's the first day of actual full team workout. They're splitting it into two groups. One will go in the morning and then one this afternoon. But no media access until Monday.
Anthony, what do you think about if guys get the virus, how it's going to affect rosters? A team like Detroit, which has a ton more, I guess, minor leaguers that they would have to spring into action than the Indians would, I guess, because the Indians have more veterans. But how's that all going to work?
I think I'd be doing a disservice if I tried to answer this question. But in trying to gather some of this information, I mean, I do think that baseball's got a little bit of a fine line here, because if you got a couple guys on one team and you have to think, given what's going on right now, that it's going to happen at some point, then what about the team that they just played? What about the team that they're going to play? How does that affect the rest of the schedule? So I think this could absolutely be a logistical nightmare, and I think it's all about, you know, they're going to do as much as they can to kind of keep this out. But then it brings up a whole other side of it when there's, you know, people in this country who are trying and need tests, and there's a shortage of tests, but then they have these for Major League Baseball. It's a very uncertain time, and I don't know. Zach, do you think when we're going to get to an opening day, and let alone the end of the season?
I guess I would say I'm cautiously optimistic, but like you, I mean, I'm the furthest thing from a medical expert, so I don't know. I mean, Ben, I know when you had Jason Stark on last week, he was saying how he had gone through the operations manual and there are all these protocols for what to do if you test positive and what players and those tier one and tier two staff members have to go through every single day. But as he kept saying, there is no official protocol for what you do if half your team comes down with it. So that's the great unknown. You know, what happens if you get to a point where a team has 20 players sidelined, and can they take the field? Do they need to take a break? And, you know, what do you do with the schedule? I mean, we don't know. So there's kind of this dark cloud looming over this season, and it's almost like it's going to feel like you're trying to squeeze in, you know, you're trying to play that fifth inning before the rain starts. I feel like that's how this season's going to feel.
Of course, these guys, at least for the teams that you cover, the Indians, of course, Zach and Anthony, the Tigers, it's going to be games in the division and then games with the NL Central, and that is it with the 60-game schedule. Start with you, Anthony. How do you view the AL Central in terms of competitiveness? You mentioned earlier about the White Sox and Twins, but how do you rank these teams? What's going to happen, you think?
If I could real quick, I kind of wanted to follow up on Zach's question, though, because I think what his colleague Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic did a very good job of touching on a topic that I think everybody's a little bit afraid to touch on, and it's a very sensitive topic, but somebody brought this up to me about 4 or 5 days ago, and I think Zach knows that, you know, in our industry, sometimes if we're talking to the Indians general manager, the Tigers general manager, it's not really right to ask them a question like this because they aren't really up at the top, but what if somebody dies from this? okay? And it's, again, it's a very sensitive kind of subject, but what happens to the sport at that point? Because I think everybody's saying, okay, well, younger people aren't, you know, generally affected by this, but I mean, you heard the Cubs pitching coach yesterday come and talk about the symptoms that he had, and I think that that is an even bigger question, and what that could do potentially to the sport if that happens, and let's pray that doesn't something that doesn't happen. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of put that out there. As far as the division, I think this is going to be an interesting division, let's say, but I still think that it's getting up there, but it's still one of the, I don't think it's one of the stronger in baseball. I think at the top, obviously the Twins, I really liked what the Twins did late in the offseason, because obviously the Indians are hampered a little bit financially, and then the White Sox are making all these splashy moves, and then all of a sudden at the end of the offseason, the Twins make a very big move, almost a statement from my perspective that the division is still theirs when they signed Josh Donaldson. So I think you have to put them at the top still. And I actually think that they did a pretty good job of building out their pitching depth with veterans. And I think this year it's going to be way up in the air to me how these teams are going to use their bullpens, their starting pitchers. It's going to be unlike we haven't really ever seen before. I think you'll see a lot more openers. But I think it's the Twins and the Indians still at the top. The White Sox just, they can't sell me on their brew. And then back at the bottom, it's Tigers and the Royals, and I will say that I think the Royals have something good going on there too. And any Tigers fans that are listening in Cleveland, I don't think you guys should take the Royals lightly either, because in the next few years, I think they're going to reemerge there in the Central.
Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a three-team race. I think the White Sox, I think they could go either way, but I think we've seen it before when you have young talent, and they're going to have a couple rookies in their lineup. They're going to have some inexperienced but really talented pitchers out there. Sometimes in a short sample like we're going to have this season, they're too naive to know what's going on, and it works in their favor. And they come in and light the world on fire, and there's not time for the pitchers to adjust to their rookie hitters or for their pitchers to get solved by the hitters they're facing. So it wouldn't shock me if the White Sox stole this division, just because with their youth, they're better equipped for 60 than 162. But I think it's going to be a three-team race. I still don't know how the Indians and Twins, I don't know exactly what they're going to look like on opening day. And like the Indians, there's probably a way to make a shortened season play to their advantage with their pitching. I don't know what it is yet. If they can figure that out, then they could be pretty dangerous. I think you could say similar things about the Twins. So what's crazy is you're going to get to the end of the season and these divisions are going to be separated. You know, the top teams will be separated by a game or two because there isn't enough time to differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack. So, you know, I could see like the Twins winning the division with 35 and the Indians having 34 and the White Sox having 33. Like that scenario is really plausible. And I also think, you know, the Royals and Tigers, depending on how liberal they are with using their young players, their top prospects that are in camp, I mean, they could be a thorn in the side of these teams too. It's not like the Royals are going to go, you know, they're not going to go 10-50. Like the Indians went 18-1 against the Tigers. Like that's obviously not going to happen. You'll play them 10 times. I don't know that you're going to go 10-0. And if you lose a couple games to the Tigers, that's just a critical setback. So the standings are all going to be condensed, and it's going to make these races a lot more fun than we're accustomed to.
All right, final thing, fellas. I got like a minute left. So, Anthony, the fans, how should they feel? Do you feel like the casual fans even going to care about this?
I don't know. I still think that there's a bad taste the way that this went down. I think baseball is very durable, okay? I didn't really believe in the notion that they were, quote-unquote, driving the sport off the cliff. I think that if baseball were to come back, you know, next spring, I think people would come back. But I just think they've grown tired over the owners and players. And I guess I can't speak for Zach, but living in this bubble, let's say, you kind of know how the sausage is made. And when you see this process play out, it does rub you the wrong way for sure. So the fans, I think they're just happy to have something to follow, to be honest with you, Deez.
Yeah, I think opening day will be exciting, and it'll be different, and it'll be the first main professional sports event back, so people will tune in. It wouldn't surprise me if the novelty wore off, but the good thing for baseball is that in a 60-game season, these pennant races are going to be nuts. You're going to have so many teams involved. They're going to be so stacked together in the standings that it should make for an interesting last few weeks to regain people's attention who might have turned away, you know, in July and August.
Fellas, that was so much fun. I appreciate it. I wish we could do the whole show together. Maybe we'll do that sometime, but appreciate the time as always, guys.
You got
it. Be good, guys. Safe.
There he is. Zach Meisel, The Athletic, Anthony Fenech from the Detroit Free Press. A roundtable talking Tribe, talking AL Central and the game of baseball.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.